So this season of Even the Rich is a little bit different. It's an encore, which means we're bringing back the very first series we ever made. If you haven't heard the story, you're in for a treat. It features princesses and royalty and lots of rich people intrigue.
And we only sing one time.
Yeah. The rest of the time, we're telling the story of two women decades apart who enchanted the world. Meghan Markle and Diana Spencer.
And even if you have heard the series already, it's a pretty great time to revisit because right now the whole interweb is buzzing about the return of the crown and this season's introduction of a new character.
I'm Sarah's younger sister, by the way. Please don't tell her you saw me. I'll get into terrible trouble. She wanted everything to be just perfect. She wouldn't want me to scare you off.
In case you couldn't tell, that's Diana, played by Emma Corrin, in a scene where she meets Prince Charles for the first time. And it's great, except for one teeny tiny thing. It's made up.
Right. The Crown is historical fiction. Emphasis on fiction. If you want to know what really happened between Diana and Charles, then this is the podcast you need.
Ditto if you want to know how their story influenced Harry and Meghan's decision to leave the royal family.
Oh, and one more thing before we get started. We've made some changes to these episodes, so even if you have heard them before, you may want to stick around.
Well, you'll definitely want to stick around because we're capping things off with an exciting bonus episode.
That's right. And I think that about covers it. Let's stop talking now.
Okay, but it's going to be hard to do a whole podcast if we're not talking. Oh, and we forgot to say that we're going to be swearing.
Bloody hell. If you happened to be in Britain back in October 2019, and if you happened to turn on ITV at 9 o'clock, then you would have caught this documentary called Harry and Meghan, An African Journey. Okay, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud, I realize you probably did not do that.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, and I don't even know what ITV is. But I am a big Harry and Meghan fan.
Oh, yeah? Do you know a lot about them?
Yeah, I know some about them. Harry's an heir to the throne, but as long as his brother William is there, he'll never be king. William's married to Kate Middleton, and Harry fell in love with Meghan Markle, who was a TV actress when they met.
Look at you.
Yeah, I know a thing or two about royals, and I watched The Crown. But I do not know anything about this African Journey documentary.
Well, here's how it started.
It was a journey through Africa, but not always the one we expected. Harry and Meghan arrived in South Africa, a country...
So it's meant to be this promotional fluff, the royal family doing nice things for the underprivileged.
This is Harry and Meghan's first public engagement of a packed 10-day tour.
But then this puff piece takes a really surprising turn. It's been all Harry and Meghan meeting African villagers, kissing babies, and all that. And then it gets real. First, the host talks to Harry, and Harry tells him how hard it's been to watch the tabloids attack Meghan. He says it reminds him of what happened to his mother, Diana. Then the host pulls Meghan aside. He asks her to talk about what it's like to be in the tabloid spotlight.
Perhaps you could just give us an idea of what the last year has been like.
It's hard. I had no idea, which probably sounds difficult to understand here. But when I first met my now husband, my friends were really happy because I was so happy. But my British friend said to me, I'm sure he's great, but you shouldn't do it because the British tabloids will destroy your life.
Royals aren't supposed to admit that.
Hell no. And the worst part is when the host asks Meghan if she can keep going, Meghan says she doesn't know.
You know, I've said for a long time to H, it's not enough to just survive something. You've got to thrive. You've got to feel happy. And I never thought that this would be easy, but I thought it would be fair. And that's the part that's really hard to reconcile.
Oh my gosh, she sounds so defeated.
I know, but it's just a prelude to something bigger. Like, bigger than anything since King Edward abdicated the throne back in 1936.
Okay, I don't even know what you're referring to.
Arisha, the crown. It was big, and this is bigger. In January 2020, Meghan and Harry make a move that's so big, It makes news around the world.
The British royal family is reeling from an extraordinary new rift involving...
Tonight, the surprise announcement from Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, blindsiding the Queen.
To be a fly on the wall in there in Buckingham Palace. Just imagine the tension.
Well, we now know the conditions for Megxit.
Megxit, that's on the Sun's front page. The paper claiming the Queen is deeply upset.
Courtiers are asking, will it be a hard Megxit or a soft Megxit?
So Harry and Meghan basically quitting the royal family is so shocking, so unexpected, the press compares it to Brexit. Princess Diana pushed the boundaries, but no prince or princess has ever just said, we retire. And the press are outraged.
Yeah, I mean, Meghan Markle was completely unknown before she met Harry. Now she's one of the most recognizable people in the world, purely because she married into our royal family. If she now leaves and goes around the world making tens of millions of dollars out of that royal connection, that will leave a pretty unpleasant taste in the mouth.
Poor Meghan. How did it come to this?
Well, to understand that, there are a few things you need to know about Meghan, Harry, and the woman who influenced them both, Princess Diana. From Wondery, I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And this is Even the Rich, where we bring you absolutely true and absolutely shocking stories about the greatest family dynasties the world has ever seen.
It's a show about power, how you get it, how you keep it, and what happens when it goes to your head.
It's also about how the rich are just like us, because even the rich love and cry and dream and hope.
And scream at the TV while watching The Bachelorette.
Yeah, that too. When people think about super rich and super dysfunctional families, there's one family that immediately comes to mind. The British royals, aka the House of Windsor, the Crown, the Firm.
Wait, do they seriously call themselves the Firm?
Oh, they do. Apparently Prince Philip came up with it. The idea is that the royals aren't family, they're a firm, like a business conglomerate or crime syndicate.
It sounds just like the mafia. I wonder if they make people offers they can't refuse.
Yeah, but it's always just tea. Like, please, take this damn tea. So over the next four episodes, we're going to focus on two members of the firm in particular, Diana Spencer and Meghan Markle. Did they modernize the monarchy, or did they whip up scandals that damaged the crown? This is episode one, Meghanomania.
I'm popping the popcorn and pouring the tea.
I want you to picture something. It's September 6th, 1997, and a 16-year-old girl with freckles is sitting on the couch in Los Angeles, completely transfixed by what she's seeing on TV.
Coming out of I think this is St. James's, preparing to join behind the cortege, it's Charles, William and Harry, Earl Spencer. Prince Philip is there as well.
Certainly the most heartbreaking sight.
Oh, Princess Diana's funeral.
You guessed it, Tom.
We're going to now watch as the cortege arrives at Westminster.
There's this especially devastating moment when the camera zooms way in on the casket. It's super wobbly, kind of like the cameraman tossed back a few too many pints, which would be understandable given the sad circumstances. And then something comes into focus.
A simple card on the first of those reads, just saying, you may have been able to read it. Mummy.
Mummy. Prince Harry wrote that card, his last letter to Diana. Harry was just 12 years old. And when that 16-year-old girl watching in Los Angeles sees it, she breaks down in tears.
Meghan Markle?
Meghan was one of the 2.5 billion people watching Diana's funeral. I don't know if you remember, but this was one of the biggest moments ever.
Oh, yeah.
And after it was over, Meghan couldn't get it out of her mind. You might even say she became obsessed with Princess Di. Like, she got a hold of a VHS of Diana's wedding and watched it over and over. Diana, Her True Story, became her favorite book. And she loved Diana's sense of fashion, which, I gotta say, Diana was kind of a royal trailblazer. Like, she even turned a little black dress into a smoking gun.
Okay, now that sounds intriguing.
future episode. But it wasn't just the fashion stuff that Meghan admired. She was also moved by Diana's empathy for all people and cultures.
Okay, so does this mean her falling in love with Harry was fate?
I mean, it's hard to say. For Meghan, it was like one of those kindred spirit connections, except Meghan was just a kid in California, and Diana was the most famous woman in the world. It's kind of crazy because they seem so different. Like, Diana was this upper-crust English lady, and Meghan's pretty squarely middle class. Diana grew up in a 100,000-square-foot mansion. Meghan grew up in an apartment.
Okay, what's happening here?
I'll tell you what's happening here. It's called theater. And you have a front row seat. Lucky you.
Oh, God.
But here's the thing you might not see on the surface. They actually do have a lot in common. Like, they both have complicated families, and they both know what it's like to have people see your beauty and miss your brains, and they both have loads of charisma. I think Meghan connected to all that. Her friend said she wanted to be Diana 2.0. When Meghan goes off to college at Northwestern, I think she's still thinking about Diana. Meghan saw Diana as a star, someone who was a natural in front of the camera. So Meghan studies theater. And she wants to make a difference in the world, like Diana. So she majors in international relations. Her senior year, she gets an internship at the U.S. Embassy in Buenos Aires. Of course, her colleagues adore her. She's smart, enthusiastic, poised. She's got everything going for her. So she decides to take the foreign service exam, which you need to pass to become a diplomat. And it's notoriously hard, like Mensa hard. And even though Meghan's super smart, she comes up short. But instead of retaking it, she gets another idea. She decides the world already has enough diplomats. What it really needs is another movie star.
Oh, yeah. There are not nearly enough movie stars in the world.
Well, there are a lot more openings now with streaming, but not in Meghan's day. Her career stalls. Honestly, it's not even stalled. A car has to at least start before it can stall. And hers has not even done that. Plus, she's broke. Her only source of income is as a calligrapher. But calligraphy doesn't pay the bills. You know what Meghan actually needs?
Oh, I don't know. A recurring guest spot on a primetime sitcom?
No, silly. A boyfriend.
Oh, right. Of course.
In 2004, Meghan goes out to a dive bar in West Hollywood where she meets this guy named Trevor. He's exactly the kind of guy you meet at a bar in L.A. A handsome, cocky film producer who, by some miracle, has made a living producing movies no one has ever seen. Like this made-for-TV gem, Santa Baby.
Your dad is Santa Claus? This is serious. Who's gonna deliver the presents?
You have a suggestion?
Me.
No, no, no.
Wow, I'm legitimately sorry I missed that one.
Anyway, so Meghan tells Trevor she wants to be an actress, and he gives her some advice. Hope is the greatest currency we have in this business.
Babe.
What?
I feel like Trevor probably put babe at the end of that sentence. Like, hope is the greatest currency we have in this business, babe.
Gross. Well, babe or no babe, she falls for it. And Meghan is still hopeful for her acting career. So she asks her new boyfriend to cast her in one of his movies. But Trevor's got this thing about mixing business with pleasure. He basically tells her, sorry, you're on your own to scrounge for parts.
Oof.
But in 2006, Meghan finally finds a role she can sink her teeth into.
Meghan, open the case.
Deal or no deal?
Yes, where beautiful women open briefcases with numbers inside. And briefcase number 11, that was Meghan Markle. This is one of her first gigs in Hollywood. It's 2006. She's 25 and making $800 a day.
$800 a day? Are they hiring?
I know, seriously. But it's not all amazing. According to one of her biographers, the dress she had to wear was so tight, she couldn't even bend down to put on her 6-inch stilettos.
Okay, my back hurts just hearing that sentence.
Same. But as we both know, when you're just starting out in the industry, you say yes to just about anything, which is how I imagine Meghan ended up on an episode of 90210. I'd play you a clip, but she didn't have any lines. Her character was named, and sadly I'm not making this up, anonymous hot girl caught giving guy head in his car.
Wow. Did the patriarchy write that episode?
Oh, damn. Did I just hear your mic drop? And then in 2011, she gets a break. She's invited to audition for a starring role on a pilot called A Legal Mind. So, of course, she's nervous. And when she gets up in front of the casting people, she totally bombs. Poor Megan just can't catch a break. Though there is something good happening in her life right now. She and her boyfriend Trevor are getting married.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they set a date in September 2011. Then something totally unexpected happens.
Ooh, I love a sudden turn in the plot.
Mm-hmm. The producers of The Legal Mind show call her back. She gets the part. There's only one problem. The show shoots in Canada, and Trevor's almost career is in LA. What's she gonna choose? Her career or Trevor?
Oh, decisions.
Just a few weeks after saying I do, Megan says goodbye to Trevor and drives to Toronto.
To work on A Legal Mind.
Oh, actually, they ended up changing the title.
I see what's coming, but I'll bite. What'd they change it to?
The show was called Suits.
Never heard of it.
Okay, yes, you have. But for those who haven't, I have a clip. Let me set it up for you. Megan plays a smart, driven woman who gets hit on a lot.
Oh my gosh, that's me.
Okay, shh, the movie's starting.
Hi, I'm Rachel Zane. I'll be giving you your orientation.
Wow, you're pretty.
Good, you've hit on me. We can get it out of the way that I'm not interested.
No, I'm sorry, I wasn't.
He should have tried telling her that hope is the greatest currency we have.
They would have fallen in love, episode one. There would have been no story. So, Megan's in Toronto working on a hit cable TV show, and filming in the cold Canadian air does Megan some good. She starts hanging out with famous people. Not famous people you've ever heard of. They're like Canadian famous, so probably hockey players or something. But still, her career's on the rise. She's coming into her own.
Without Trevor.
Pretty much. I mean, he makes an effort, sort of. He moves his office to New York so he can be closer to her. And they Skype on the reg. But the more time they spend apart, the more Megan realizes all the little things that make them incompatible.
Like
he's always late and Megan's always on time.
Ugh, that drives me nuts too.
Yeah.
As a person who's always late.
Right. He always looks sort of disheveled and messy, and she's super polished and perfect.
Even her ponytail is a work of art.
Oh, yeah. I actually looked up pictures of them online. I found one of them together at a cocktail party. Megan looks flawless, of course, in this navy cocktail dress. And Trevor is wearing an oversized linen shirt, baggy khakis like he's Jake from State Farm, and leather sandals to a cocktail party.
Gross.
There's one thing that's worse.
What?
Crocs. Which I'm sure he has.
Yeah, he probably wears them with socks.
Obviously. And there was other stuff, like she's really deep and he's produced Santa Baby.
There is a lot to unpack here.
Yeah. But still, Megan is a romantic and she isn't ready to give up. When Suits wraps at the end of the first season, Trevor and Megan go on a trip through Vietnam. They're hoping it'll be a chance to work through some of their differences and reconnect. They cycle from town to town, stopping to try all the local delicacies along the way. It's like their own little bachelorette episode.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it is. Until Trevor gets violent food poisoning.
Okay, sounds very not fun.
Yeah, it's not exactly the romantic reunion they planned. When Megan goes back to Toronto to film season two of Suits, she's probably relieved to be on her own again. And that's when she makes a decision. Megan goes to the post office, she buys an envelope, and then slips off her wedding ring, drops it inside, and mails it back to Trevor.
So hang on, that's the end of their relationship? She's putting her ring in an envelope, and that's it.
For Megan, it is. And what better way to get over a breakup than go out on the town?
Come with me for a day in the life. I'm going to show you my favorite spots in Toronto. Come on.
This is a promotional video that Megan made for a Canadian department store.
I really wanted to show you the Shangri-La Hotel. I love this spot, especially when you need a good massage. The spa upstairs is so good.
People love her. She starts a lifestyle blog called The Tig, and she gets involved with the UN.
It's good to be single. You get so much more done when you don't have to worry about some guy's feelings.
Or what shoes they're going to wear to the next cocktail party. Fast forward a few years to summer of 2016. Megan's 34 years old, and it seems like she's thriving. She's way past the breakup. Production on Suits just wrapped its sixth season. And Megan's hanging with her new bestie, a woman named Violet von Westenholz. Violet is the PR director for Ralph Lauren, and Megan is one of the brand ambassadors. They're tight. One day, Violet invites Megan to spend a few days in London. And at some point, Violet gets an idea. She tells Megan there's a guy she knows, a friend of hers she's known since high school. Apparently, they used to go skiing together. Her friend is handsome and single and lonely. You know what? I feel like some Telling Music score should come in here.
What, and give it all away?
Okay. Violet says, any interest in a blind date? Megan thinks about it. Then she asks, is he nice? Yeah, Violet says, he's nice. So Megan says,
ride 'em, cowboy.
You guessed it. No, she just says okay.
That's very anticlimactic.
But later, when she's having lunch with a friend, she's so excited about it, she can barely speak. She whispers the guy's name in the softest voice. His Royal Highness Henry Charles Albert David, the Duke of Sussex, Earl of Dumbarton, and Baron Kilkeel.
I wonder if Violet von What's-Her-Face knew all along about Meghan's obsession with Princess Di.
I doubt it. It's not the kind of thing you really brag about, is it?
Ugh.
But you've got to imagine it was on Meghan's mind. Like, she knows that Harry's one of the most eligible bachelors in the world. And she has a leg up on the competition. She spent her childhood modeling herself after the greatest modern-day princess of all, Harry's mummy. And as everyone knows, if you want to make a man fall in love with you, then you should definitely be just like his mother.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to run and research Ryan Gosling's mom real quick.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay, well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh yeah, the Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned-out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes. When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss.
Yeah.
And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen, and you know I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah, new members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500 to get started. Okay, so before we get into what happens when Meghan and Harry meet for the first time, I think it's important to know what Harry's been up to, because it's not what you think.
I'm picturing something royal and dramatic, like flying to the States and enrolling in college undercover, then falling in love with a pre-med student who falls for him too, but doesn't know he's a prince.
Okay, that's the plot of The Prince and Me.
Yeah, and it's a great film. Everyone should see it.
Yeah, but finish this episode first. So, no, that's not what he did. He actually served as a helicopter pilot in Afghanistan, joined an expedition to the South Pole, and founded a charity.
Oh, he sounds like a pretty good guy.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. But he also has this reputation in the tabloids for some not so good behavior. Like, remember when he wore a Nazi uniform?
No.
Yeah, back when he was 20 years old, he went to a costume party dressed as a Nazi.
Wow.
And there's also the time Harry was into laughing gas.
Laughing gas? Was his dealer a royal dentist?
You don't need a dealer to get the nitrous.
Why do you know that?
I don't know. I like calling it the nitrous, though, like I'm hip and in the know. But no, he would go to clubs where they served it.
Wow, I definitely missed that trend.
To be fair, that was a long time ago. He called them his wild days. Now that he's all grown up and tame, he's looking for love.
Ah, making him the most eligible bachelor in the world.
Well, he's not for everyone. The problem is that any woman he dates has to deal with the press. And by deal with the press, I mean be okay with your entire life being picked over and judged for the rest of time.
Harry was quoted in the Sunday Times saying, "If I talk to a girl, that person is then suddenly my wife, and people go knocking on her door." But don't let that fool you. It doesn't stop him from talking to girls. On a warm summer's night in merry old England, Harry and Meghan meet for a drink at a chic private club called Dean Street Townhouse. The walls are papered red. The chairs are plush and velvet, and the sparks are flying. They talked about it later on BBC.
I'd never even heard about her until this friend said Meghan Markle. I was like, right, okay, give me a bit of background. what's going on here? So no, I'd never watched Suits. I'd never heard of Meghan before, and I was beautifully surprised when I walked into that room and saw her, and there she was sitting there. I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna have to up my game.
I gotta say, that actually is pretty romantic.
Yeah, and he sounds so shy, right? Like all polite and British. It's kind of adorable. But Meghan plays it cool.
I didn't know much about him. We went and met for a drink, and then I think very quickly into that we said, well, what are we doing tomorrow? We should meet again.
What are we doing tomorrow? Let's meet again.
Have you ever planned to have date number two the day after date number one?
Definitely not. And not only that, wait till you hear how date number two goes. It's ridiculous. It starts at this members-only establishment where they tuck themselves into a corner. They share a bottle of rosé and they talk for hours. He's like, I'm really into philanthropic work. And she's like, I love the UN. Turns out, that's not all they have in common. They both have divorced parents and they know what it's like to grow up in a messy, dysfunctional family. And here's the kicker. They find out they both love Africa.
What? This sounds exactly like none of the dates I've ever been on. Who bonds over loving a whole continent?
Oh, you love Africa? I love Africa. Neat. Harry seizes the moment. He knows Meghan's leaving London soon, going back to Toronto and the TV show he's never heard of. And he's desperate not to let her slip away. So he, puts it all out there. He tells Meghan about an upcoming camping trip and asks if she'd like to come with him to Botswana. It's actually one of Harry's go-to moves. Meghan is the third woman he's whisked away to Africa. But either she doesn't know that or she doesn't care, because she says yes, and off to Botswana they go. They share a tent. They camp under the stars. Oh, hell, I'll let Harry tell it because I love his accent.
We spent, come and join me for 5 days out there, which was absolutely fantastic. So then we were really by ourselves. It was fantastic. It was absolutely amazing to get to know her as quickly as I did.
So basically, they did it.
Pretty much. So after the trip, when Meghan goes back to Suits, she can't get Harry out of her mind. Or at least that's how I like to imagine, because seriously, who could forget a freaking prince taking you to Botswana for 5 days to get to know you better? And Harry can't get her out of his mind either. Not long after the Botswana trip, he invites her to his family's castle in Scotland.
Sounds like the relationship was moving pretty quickly.
Oh, it was. And there's a reason for that. Prince Harry only gets a few weeks of dating someone before it becomes news. And let's be honest, an heir in line to the British throne dating a mixed race American actress, it's like a giant gift for the British tabloids.
You broke the story.
How did you find out?
Well, I'd love to tell you that, Phil, but I'd have to kill you, I'm afraid.
That's Camilla Tominey. She's a reporter for a British tabloid called the Sunday Express. On October 30th, 2016, she's the one who breaks the news. She writes a front page story with this headline, Harry's secret romance with TV star. When the news breaks, Harry's in Toronto visiting Meghan. And the last thing he wants is for the press to find him. So he leaks a story of his own to make it look like he's missed his flight to Toronto and is still at home in the UK. It's a crapshoot, but it works. And it leaves the couple feeling bold. Bold enough to dress up in disguise and sneak into a Halloween party. But the next morning, they wake up, probably a little hungover, and they look out the window. And that's when they learn that Harry's trick with the press didn't work at all. There's a swarm of photographers on the sidewalk waiting to pounce as soon as the couple leaves.
Just what you need when you're hungover, a bunch of flashing bulbs.
Preach. And on November 2nd, the Daily Mail drops a story with this headline. Harry's girl is almost straight out of Compton, gang-scarred home of her mother revealed. So will he be dropping by for tea?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hang on a minute. The press finds out on October 30th that Harry and Meghan are dating. And the story you're talking about comes out on November 2nd. So it only takes the tabloids 3 days to start spewing racist bullshit?
Yeah, and that is just the start. The very next day, another tabloid, the Daily Star, has this wonderful headline. Harry to marry into gangster royalty, new love from crime-ridden neighborhood.
Wow.
Yeah. Meghan's life as she knows it is over. Nothing's off limits now. Not her family, not her past, and definitely not the color of her skin.
I think I can very safely say, as naive as it sounds now, I did not have any understanding of just what it would be like. I don't think either of us did that. We both said that, even though we knew that it would be.
I tried to warn you as much as possible. I think you can have as many conversations as you want and try and prepare as much as possible. But we were totally unprepared for what happened after that.
When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals more easily and still have the occasional treat.
Exactly. And Chime's here to help you do that. With a Chime checking account, you can make financial progress with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Yep. So if you set up direct deposit into your Chime account and use an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance.
And I love that Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion.
Oh my God. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/rich. That's chime.com/rich.
Chime feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10.
Here, read this. No, read it out loud.
Why?
Because your English accent is way better than mine.
A statement by the Communications Secretary to Prince Harry, November 8th, 2016. Since he was young, Prince Harry has been very aware that there is significant curiosity about his private life. He has never been comfortable with this, but he has tried to develop a thick skin. But the past week has seen a line crossed. His girlfriend, Meghan Markle, has been subject to a wave of abuse and harassment. Prince Harry is worried about Miss Markle's safety and is deeply disappointed that he has not been able to protect her. It is not right that a few months into a relationship with him, that Miss Markle should be subjected to such a storm. He knows commentators will say this is the price she has to pay and that this is all part of the game. He strongly disagrees. This is not a game. It is her life and his.
What is this?
It's the monologue you're going to read for your Santa Baby 2 audition. You're going to be a star, kid.
Yeah, I'm booking that role. No question.
But really, that's the statement Harry made his press secretary put out after all those racist tabloid articles.
Okay, he's fired up, and I love it. The press deserves to be smacked down for this.
Yeah, 100%. But not everybody agrees with you. Harry's older brother William thought he overstepped. Behind closed doors, William tells Harry to slow down. But Harry's not interested in his brother's advice. He's smitten.
He gives Megan a necklace with M&H charms and they buy a Christmas tree together. Then they go to Norway in January when the sun literally never shines.
Now that's love.
Oh yeah, they're serious. Which means Megan has to get serious about looking like a royal. First, she shuts down her lifestyle blog, and then selfies begin to disappear from her Instagram, including one of her holding a beer can. Actually, a lot of photos where she's drinking disappear. Which is odd, because the queen supposedly still drinks wine with lunch and a dry martini in the afternoon. Oh, and champagne with dinner, followed by some port before bed.
Sounds like my grandmother. I'm serious.
Yeah, Nani knows how to party.
She does.
But Meghan doesn't want to take any chances. She wants to be liked by Harry's family. And she knows that if you want to charm your way into the cold English hearts of the British royals, then you need to have impeccable manners. In the summer of 2017, Meghan starts visiting a nondescript suburban house in Pasadena. There's a sign on the door that says, "Downton Abbey spoken here." The house belongs to a British expat named Edmund Fry. He's turned the front parlor into a mock English tea room. There, dressed in a vintage tuxedo and wearing white gloves, he serves high tea and dispenses etiquette advice.
I feel like we should be doing this. I mean, I already have a British accent down. You're almost there. We can get a tuxedo easily from Men's Warehouse, wherever else they sell tuxedos.
That's the only place.
Yep.
Over several visits, Meghan learns the basics. Don't slouch. Make sure your teacup's handle is always pointing at 3 o'clock. Don't slurp. Always cut your scones in half.
It's like a PhD in British manners.
Yeah. Well, Meghan doesn't just want the queen to like her. She needs the queen to like her. Under English law, the queen has final say on who her immediate heirs can marry. And that includes Harry. And she's picky. She insisted that her son Charles marry Diana, even though he had his eye on someone else. Why? Because Diana was young, beautiful, and well-bred, whereas Meghan is in her 30s and divorced. So if Meghan wants the queen's blessing, she's going to need to knock her herringbone socks off. On a rainy day in October 2017, Meghan accepts an invitation from the queen to have tea at Buckingham Palace. For the queen, it's a chance to meet the young woman she's heard so much about. For Meghan, it's the most demanding audition of her life.
Well, thank God she trained at Edmund Fry's Royal House of Pasadena, Downton Abbey spoken here.
We have no idea what they talked about, but I like to imagine that Meghan refrained from slurping and that she pointed her teacup due east. Because the one thing we do know about this afternoon is the queen was impressed. And apparently the dogs were too. They laid on Meghan's feet the entire afternoon.
Oh. Was the queen impressed enough to give Harry her permission to ask Meghan to marry him?
Just a standard, typical night
just
for us.
It's a cozy night. What were we doing? Just roasting chicken and having...
Trying to roast a chicken.
Wait, this is their engagement story?
Wait for it. While the chicken is in the oven, the prince decides it's time to propose the old-fashioned way.
He got on one knee.
Cool.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I could barely let you finish proposing. I was like, can I say yes now?
She didn't even let me finish. She said, can I say yes? Can I say yes now? And then there was hugs and I had the ring in my finger. And I was like, can I give you the ring? And she goes, oh, yes, the ring.
The ring has four diamonds, one from Botswana, where they camped under the stars the year before. And the other three came from Diana's jewelry collection.
That's actually really, really sweet. How do they celebrate after?
They release a bunch of photos where they're walking around Kensington Palace looking all beautiful. And then they did a long interview with the BBC where they announce it to the world. That's the clip that you heard. Meghan also announces in the interview that she's giving up acting.
Wow, so she's really putting her past behind her.
Well, there's one more thing she has to do to let her old life go. She flies home to Toronto and throws a party for her closest female friends. She invites everyone into her closet and tells them to take what they want. She calls the party Sayonara Zara. She's ready to upgrade to a more royal wardrobe.
Okay, how do I get invited to a party like that?
Seriously, I'll take her old shit. I'm not royalty. Yet. But as the saying goes, you can give away all your polyester clothing, but your past still has a way of catching up with you. And when Meghan's past gets a hold of her, it'll stir up a scandal that threatens her image, her relationship, and the entire royal family.
I'm guessing we're saving all that for next time?
Yep. Consider this a tease.
This is episode one of our four-part series, Diana to Meghan.
We use many sources when researching our stories, like Vanity Fair, Town and Country, and yes, a few tabloids. But we especially recommend the book Harry and Meghan by Kate Nichol, as well as Andrew Morton's biography, Meghan, A Hollywood Princess. I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And I am Arisha Skidmore-Williams. This episode was written by our producer, Caleb Bissinger. Our associate producer is Kate Young. Our audio engineers are Danny Carissimi and Sergio Enriquez. Sound design by Jeff Schmidt and James Morgan. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Marshall Louis, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.